Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns Early. Acorns Early is the smart money app and debit card for kids that helps them learn the value of money. Teaching my kids the value of money is always on my list, but I'm not the best at keeping track of the money they earn from helping around the house. But I just discovered Acorns Early has a great tool to help me with that. Acorns Early Chore Tracker teaches kids hard work really does pay off. You just set up the chores in the app, set a payment amount, and then tick the chore off the list when it's done. Acorns Early also lets parents pay allowances automatically. No more rummaging around the house for cash. Automatically send a weekly allowance to your kid's account with just a few taps. Kids can spend what they earn with their very own debit card, which you know they'll love. And they get to choose from more than 35 customizable card designs. Plus, parents, we can keep track of where and when the kids are spending. You can get real-time spend notifications, set your kids' spending limits, and instantly block lost or stolen cards. Now is the time to grow your kids' money skills with bite-sized financial lessons. The Acorns Early app is here for that. They have tons of fun, interactive courses that help kids learn all things money. So ready for your kids to learn the value of money? Just head to acornsearly.com or download the Acorns Early app to get started. Sign up now and get your first month on us. TNCs apply, monthly subscription fee starting from $5 per month unless canceled. Hello there, listeners. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns makes it easy to start automatically saving and investing so your money has a chance to grow for you, your kids, and your retirement. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that fits you and your money goals. You know what is also so great? You don't need to be rich to start investing. Acorns lets you invest with the spare money you've got right now. You can start with just $5 or even just your spare change. Acorns works for me because I love knowing I'm doing something proactive for my future when I'm not even thinking about it and giving my money a chance to grow. So head to acorns.com/clink or download the Acorns app to start saving and investing for your future today. Pay client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC and SEC registered investment advisor. View important disclosures at acorns.com/clink. Lady listeners, could your daily routine be full of hormone disruptors? It sure can. You know, there are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now, in our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormonal changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause, and while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we have to suffer through it. The good news is that we don't have to suffer through it anymore because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier, and that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. They make no compromise when it comes to quality, and it shows. Hormone Harmony is a phenomenon. Women can't stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds, y'all. Hormone Harmony has been part of my routine in 2024 and will continue to be in 2025 because, simply put, it makes me feel better. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use code CLINK at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code CLINK for 15% off today.
Some things you wouldn't mind being stuck with, like a huge inheritance. But a phone that has to be plugged in just right so it charges is not one of those things. Switch to Verizon and we'll pay off your old phone up to $800 via prepaid MasterCard for a new one on us. Just trade in any phone from our top brands with select unlimited plans. $829.99 purchase with new smartphone line on select unlimited plans. Minimum $90 per month with auto pay plus taxes and fees for 36 months required. Less $830 trade-in slash promo credit applied over 36 months. Trade-in terms apply. Payoff phone requires smartphone purchase and port-in with new smartphone line on select plan. Must provide most recent bill showing payoff amount of eligible phone. Additional terms apply.
Hi, and welcome to Housewives of True Crime.
Welcome.
Welcome. I am Tabitha. Give me Dateline, white wine, and I'll pick up your kids in the carpool line.
The next day, right?
Yeah, the next day.
Okay. And I am Gretchen. I like white wine, true crime, and in bed by 9 because I have a lot of stuff to do in the morning.
We are Housewives of True Crime.
Yes, we are.
Yes, we are. Welcome.
Welcome.
Housewives of True Crime.
Here we are. Back in action.
are, again, Monday edition. If you haven't listened to us before, we are on YouTube. If you want to watch us, we talk crime. So here's your disclaimer. It's here and we are going to...
It's kind of in the name of the podcast. So.
It is, but you know, people be tripping. So
people be tripping.
And we are not just talking about housewives. We are the housewives. That's like where a couple people get all confused.
They get it twisted.
We don't talk about the actual housewives of Beverly Hills or whatever. Also, we talk 7 minutes in the beginning of just chit chat. If you don't like it, fast forward. If you do like it, which most of you come to love it, then stick around. You'll know about Gretchen and I and what we are.
Yes, and I can we shut up about this boring stuff already? Because I have so much to chit chat about.
Oh my God, Gretchen does. And I haven't posted yet, but by the time this comes out, you will see that. Tell us, Gretchen.
I had the biggest day. Okay. I need to preface it a little bit. Okay. I don't want to brag, but I had a colonoscopy this morning. Yeah, and I'm doing fine. You should all get your poop chute checked, okay?
Okay, thank you for that.
It was no big deal. The drag was the day before. You know, you got to drink all the nonsense, stay close to the toilet. It's a situation. Well, so I was doing that, okay? Now, I took a little break from drinking the concoction because I had to pick up my children from school.
Mm-hmm.
Got a ride for the boy. Still had to pick up the girls. Didn't want to have an accident. Well, right before I left, I got an email from the harbor. And some of you may remember, I participated in the boat parade. Well, Gretchen, I missed...
Boat, yes. So Gretchen decorated her boat all out. And if you haven't listened to the past few episodes, she was like, all these other bitches went even crazier. So
they did. Okay. Listen,
I was very, I was all out. Like Gretchen's boat is, dude, she did a really good job. You guys, if you haven't seen it,
I dressed up like popcorn. I popped it like it was hot for sure. Okay.
Go to our Facebook group. It's Housewives of True Crime group on Facebook. If you want to check it out.
Word to your mother. Okay. But the thing was, being my first year in the boat parade, I didn't think I had enough actual lights because people are viewing from far away. And when I got out there in the midst of the parade, I was like, shit, my shit be dark. You know, I mean, I popped it like it was hot, extra hard because that's how I do it. But I was like, I ain't got enough lights. I can't compete. Then when the award ceremony came, I had a migraine and I was like, well, I did want to go cheer everyone on. But I'm not going to win. So whatever. Well, son of a bitch, if I didn't get an email from the damn harbor yesterday saying you have won an award and a check, I got a trophy, the first trophy of my whole damn life. Okay. And a check for 500 large people. And so I clenched my butt cheeks. I was on the phone with Tab. I did. I was like, I'm going while I'm doing my, this is why we started with the colonic talk, our, you know, colonoscopy talk, because I was like, I need that trophy. I need that trophy and that check right now.
She wasn't going to go. She didn't even know she got a check. She sent me the email. And I think because you were on the toilet, I was like, I read the email and I'm like, girl, you didn't just get a trophy. You have a check waiting for you. I'm like, go there now.
Yeah.
And she did. And so
it's like a mile from my house, but that's a long way when you're doing that colonoscopy prep. Let me tell you, I was happy that they were very attentive to me. I got in and out of there right quick and started being brag obnoxious, sending texts to everyone. Okay. Here's the part of the story you don't know though, Dab. So on my way home, or my victory lap, basically, because I have my windows rolled down so I could show the trophy to any neighbor that happened to be walking by.
Yes. You did not drop that damn trophy because it was glass.
No. I ran into my neighbor friend. Okay. And she was like, oh my God, of course, I'm so happy for you. I think you owe me some credit. And I was like, yeah, girl, I do. Because she, you know, threw her voice out yelling, pop it while it's hot. She's like, yeah. And also, I found out how to vote for you. And I texted a shit ton of people that they had to vote for you.
Oh, I love that. That is so nice.
So I was like, well, thank you so much.
That's so nice. I would have voted for you. Your whole entire clan over here and the Housewives, Disco Biscuits would have voted for you.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't want to abuse my platform, but I will next year. Maybe.
Yes. Because it's 50th
annual.
Because
next year, it'll be really worth it. Yeah. Okay. And next year's the 50th.
Yeah. And I'm coming. So
yeah, she's coming. We're going to do this.
We're doing it. Okay. So I'm so excited for you. I called my husband first thing after you told me and I was braggalicious for you and he was super happy for you too. So
Thank you. Next stop Broadway, people. Next stop Broadway.
Yeah. So if you didn't see, I also posted Gretchen's audition for the Dolly Parton role on Broadway. She had to do the Instagram hashtag. And I was also very impressed with you doing that. So I think, you know, it's all looking up for you. It is not looking up for everybody.
For LA,
so we do send
very sorry about that. Yeah. Sorry if this is in bad form. That's all I have to say about that. Yeah. Like, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry, but it's my first trophy ever.
I know. It's fine. It's fine. I mean, we have to celebrate the wins when we can, because not everybody's having a win. And, you know, we are sending out our prayers and our support. My mom actually went out just real quick before we start our podcast. My mom went yesterday to the YMCA in Reseda to pass out supplies. They have enough. They have an overload.
Yeah, everybody has an overload. So what I am doing and what I have been told is to really go through your stuff, sort it, label it, only give them your good stuff and hold on to it for a little while, because they just have to get through it, but they're still going to need it.
100%. But at the moment, it is right now, I think that people are just there at their friends' houses. They're at their family's houses. They don't need a lot of cases of water at the moment. Like my mom said, they ended up opening up to just the community, not just fire victims. And people were going batshit, like taking like 4 cases of water and just being obnoxious.
Oh, no way.
Uh-huh. And so, so there's gotta be a better way, but anyways,
they'll figure it out. They'll figure it out.
They will.
Okay.
Okay. Let's get to this week's case. All right. We are going to Wind Lake, Wisconsin. I'm sure you have not heard of it. And if you have, then I'd be surprised, because we're from California and we don't make it to Wisconsin very often. It's a very small town, town of 6,000. If you are from Wind Lake or around there, hello to you. You probably know about this case. It's located 22 miles from Milwaukee and it has a median home price of $414,000. It's really cold there. Like, I looked it up. It was 14 degrees the other day. It's not my kind of weather.
Yeah.
So you're not going to be finding me in the Wisconsin anytime soon.
You're not going to be popping it like it's hot over there.
It's not hot over there. Yeah. Okay. The average daytime temperature in January is 24 degrees Fahrenheit. Oh,
I bet everybody's skin is so good. They probably don't even have a dermatologist in
town. Like ice. It's like ice roller every day.
Yeah. They have a dermatologist, but there's no med spa.
No. Maybe they do have med spas. It's like red light therapy,
med spas. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Actually, by the way, it's also super foggy there all the time. Like 57% of the time it's overcast. So I think they should be also taking their vitamin D. So if you live in Wisconsin, here's your PSA. Take vitamin D.
Okay.
We also lived in a place when we lived in Ventura, California, that's also overcast at least 57% of the time.
Listen, I wouldn't survive. I not only do I get my colonoscopy, but
it's going to be talking about that for the next like month.
But I get my blood work done and I'm vitamin D deficient, living up here in the sunshine, and anybody that knows me knows I'm outside all the time. So I shrivel up.
Do you wear a lot of sunscreen?
Yes, unless we're in a court of law or my dermatologist is listening. No, I don't wear fucking sunscreen. How are you going to get a tan?
I know. So then I was like, I would think that you would have the vitamin D. So it's weird. Nope. It's all those wetsuits that Jeremiah's bought you.
Word.
All right. So it was one of those bitterly cold mornings on the last day of January. It was January 31st, 2004, when a 911 call came into the Racine, and I could be saying that wrong. So sorry, Racine, I don't know, County Sheriff's Office, 911 system at 10:57 a.m. And I'm going to play you a little clip of this 911 call. A woman on the line was on the line, but it was really hard to understand what she was saying. She said she couldn't breathe, but she was like making this 911 call, right? So she kind of says, my ex-husband is trying to kill me. The 911 operator repeats, like, your husband's trying to kill you? What? And what you can hear when you hear it is that There's a lot of deep breathing, and the 911 operator kind of just doesn't believe her. The caller was a 38-year-old Terry Jadusa Nikolai, and she was able to tell the dispatcher that she was bound with tape, but you could also hear that they're like, she's like, how are you talking to me if you're bound with tape and there's tape over your mouth or whatever. She says that she is in the back of her ex-husband's truck, but she didn't know their location. She was able to tell the operator the ex-husband's name and address before the call disconnected. And despite the 911 operator's skepticism, she did dispatch deputies to the address that was provided, which, thank God, right? Like,
well, yeah, I feel like, okay, ain't no time for a judgy dispatcher. Isn't it your job to like just dispatch people and then let the officers can totally be judgy, right?
Yes, yes, I agree. Yeah. And we have lots of friends in the dispatch world, so we're not like making
but none of them. But none of them are judgy dispatchers. They be on their right. shit. Okay?
Right. Shout out to Brandon.
I was just thinking that.
So the house belonged to David M. Larson. So two sheriff's department officers, Mark Anderson and Thomas Sweet, quickly arrived at the house and rang the doorbell. No one came to the door. They couldn't hear anything inside, so they walked around knocking on the doors, windows, trying to get attention to anybody inside. When they looked through the windows, they couldn't see anyone moving. So they tried for a good like 15 to 20 minutes, called the landline inside the house, but only got the answer machine. After double checking that they were at the right house with the dispatch, the deputies then broke the window of one of the doors and made entry. They went room to room, announcing that they were there and looking for a woman who called 911, but the house was empty. Still worried that there was a woman having difficulty breathing inside, they made a second sweep around the house, looking room to room, garage, closets. They could not find her. Okay, so satisfied that no one was hurt in the house, the deputies cleaned up the broken glass from where they made entry and secured the door. Okay. The officers headed back to the station, and when they got back to the department, Officer Sweet took a call from David Nikolai.
Wait a second. Wait, are you saying he didn't go back to the station and high five the dispatcher and say, hi, you know, you called it. Fucking no one
there.
Yeah,
right. Right. I'm sure he wanted to.
Making it up.
Right. Yeah. No, this time he took a call from a man named David Nikolai, who was actually Terry's current husband. And he was worried. And since both of her ex-husband and new husband both have the name David, I am going to refer to Terry's husband as of current as Nick, because actually I think that was his nickname because his last name is Nikolai.
Okay.
So Nick told the officer that his wife Terry had gone to her ex-husband's house to pick up her two daughters that she shared custody with, and Nick was worried. It had been a couple hours. It never took Terry this long to pick up the girls and come back. He also told the officer that the neighbor of David's had told him that she saw Terry's car at his house earlier. And he was worried that his wife and stepkids were missing. He provided Officer Sweet with David Larson's address. As Officer Sweet listened, he realized that that was the address he had just come from, right? With the muffled female caller. Mm-hmm. The two officers immediately went back to the house, thinking they must have missed something. Officer Sweet and Anderson arrived back at David Larson's house at 12:30 p.m. and found the house still secure. And it had been 90 minutes since Terry had called 911. So they decided to canvass the neighbors to see if the neighbors had seen anything. One of the neighbors actually had. He saw David loading Terry's car on a trailer and towing it away. Around that time, Nick called Officer Sweet back and told him that Terry had called him saying that she was in the back of her ex's truck and was in trouble. Nick also confirmed that there was no way in hell that David would be towing Terry's car. Like, that's totally not normal. Terry and David had a contentious relationship. Nick provided a description of Terry's clothes and what she was wearing, you know, when she like left the house, and was like, no way Jose would David be having anything to do with her car. Officer Sweet also learned another 911 call had come in from Terry to the Milwaukee County Sheriff's Office, you know, because she must have been in the car driving somewhere, right? And so this 911 call was dispatched to a different office. She managed to tell this dispatcher that she was tied up under a tarp in the back of her ex's truck, but she had no idea where she was. So at this point, Officer Sweet knew that they needed some backup. They needed some detectives because this seems like a real serious situation. He updated the attempt to locate bulletin with missing and endangered. An Amber Alert was issued for Terry's daughters at 1:45. Remember, that first 911 call came in at 10:57, almost 3 hours before. And that's a long time for David to get somewhere other than his house.
Yeah.
Detectives were working feverishly to get the ball rolling to look for Terry. They tried to contact David Larson's father, but were unsuccessful. Neighbors said they hadn't seen him for a couple days. They arrived at Nick Nikolai's house, Terry's house, at 2:09. Nick told them, you know, they kind of just wanted to know, like, what's up with this guy, David? He said the divorce was contentious and really concerned about the two little girls. He also told them that David was an air traffic controller at a regional airport north of Chicago in Willing, Illinois. Mm-hmm. And he also told them that at one point, Terry had a restraining order against David. Nick knew that David also owned a gun, at least one, and he had several rental properties. So the detectives left and headed back to David Larson's house. The only problem that they faced here was they didn't have like a warrant, you know, after the initial welfare check where you don't find somebody, they need more paperwork or whatever, unless something is dire. So they call the DA and the DA is like, yes, this is critical to life or death situation. Those girls could be in the house. You just missed it.
Yes,
right.
I agree. Yes.
So the two detectives arrived back at the house at 3:30 PM, 4.5 hours after 911 call. And, they went into the house again. Now, at first, I was a little annoyed because I'm like, how, like, you're going to see they find stuff on the second go around. But David was a damn hoarder. Like, so much so that he could be on that show, Hoarders. You know, there was stuff stacked everywhere on counters, desks, and, like, pathways for you to walk between, like, where you were going.
Yeah.
So near the kitchen table in plain view, they saw a overturned chair and a large 2-foot-wide blood stain on the carpet. Oh, my. I don't know how you'd miss that, but I guess you could miss things. They noticed a baseball bat, I guess because they're looking for like a woman, you know?
Yeah, like, but still, I feel like you'd keep on keeping on looking if you see the blood stain.
I know, but they didn't see it the first time. Then they noticed a baseball bat leaning against the wall near the table. Mm-hmm. And they found an empty handgun case in David Larson's bedroom closet. Investigators also went through documents that they found stuffed into a file cabinet, and they were looking for anything, ransom note, map, suicide, whatever it was, right? What they did find was the divorce papers. And eerily, the divorce had happened or was finalized 3 years to the day. They searched everywhere for these little girls and for Terry, under beds, closets, inside cupboards. I mean, these girls were 6 and 4, so they were tiny, you know?
Yeah.
Terry and her girls were not inside the house. But in the kitchen, they did find some disturbing clues. Inside a trash can in the kitchen, they discovered black sweatpants that were stained with blood and duct tape around the ankles. And there was more duct tape wadded up with blood on it and human hair. The sweatpants matched the description of what Terry had been wearing out of the house that day. In the sink, they saw a rag covered in blood. Blood splatter was on light switches. I mean, it looked pretty brutal. Mm-hmm. They pinged Terry and David's cell phones, but this is in 2003, right? Or 2004. And it wasn't as good as it is today, but right. They were able to get a ping on both of the phones in the Milwaukee area, but then they lost the signal. Meanwhile, officers were also dispatched to the rental properties, hoping that they would find something. Terry, her daughters, Terry's car. And one of the rental properties, they did find Terry's car. He couldn't see anything in the car and the trunk was locked. So they got word that they could break into the car, which they did, and they found nothing, which is good and bad, but good because, you know, somebody's still out there. During all of this, be on the lookout. The BOLO was put out also for David Larson's pickup truck. And police in Wheeling, Illinois were dispatched to the airport where David worked as an air traffic controller. And wouldn't you know it, David was at work.
Okay, I've been concerned about his chosen profession since you told me he was an air traffic controller. Because I feel like whoever can handle that job, they probably make a good criminal. Because you have to think of so many things at so many scenarios at the same time.
I mean,
I could never air traffic control. I'm not that good at multitasking.
I'm good at multitasking, but I would be so nervous.
I like one thing, like, can we put away this pile of laundry first and then take on that? I'm not trying to like all of those balls in the sky. Nope.
Yeah. And there's a lot. We live by an airport. So like I see those planes just coming in all the time.
Yeah.
They actually find David's truck first. And so they pull up to David's truck and they are worried, you know, like, does he have the girls in there? Does he have Terry in there? When they get to the driver's window, they see that he's actually in the vehicle and he is alone. They told him that his ex-wife, they told him, you know, your ex-wife is missing and we are searching for her and your daughters. And David was completely calm. He was cooperative. He agreed to come down to the station with them. And so they escorted David back in their patrol car. He could, and by the way, they noticed in the truck, the back of the truck, that they saw some blood. So the truck they immediately impounded for forensic evidence.
Smart.
Racine County Sheriff's Office Detective Thomas Noss and Christopher Smalling immediately drove to the Wheeling police station to conduct the interview. Initially, they wanted David to think that they didn't suspect him, as, you know, they were like, oh, you know, we're just looking for your kids. And, you know, we're like wondering. So David was like, oh, yeah, you know, Terry was supposed to pick up the girls at 10 this morning, but she never showed up. And you know what this asshole did? He referred to her as a BIT and then even had that title in his phone for his ex-wife, which, I mean, total douche.
That is really good co-parenting. That is so healthy because children never pick up your phone and...
Oh, I know. See it calling?
Yeah.
What an ass.
Total ass. Yeah.
He said that he made the girls breakfast, and when Terry didn't come at 10 like she was supposed to, he started calling different people to see if they could babysit his girls. He said he tried his dad and his brother, but according to David, no one could take them. So he told them that he ended up taking the girls to his girlfriend, Sveltana's house at 11:30.
Sveltana?
Sveltlana, I think. Sveltlana. Sveltlana.
Let's just call her Lana. Lanny.
Lana.
Lana.
Lana. So on the other side of the interrogation room, the officers placed a call to Lana to see where Lana lives, to get Lana's address. And to their relief, guess what? Lana did have the girls. It had been 8 hours now since Terry had called 911 and there was no leads on Terry, but thank the heavens that her little girls were alive and well. Detective Riley gently asked the girls, had they seen their mom that day? And both of the girls said they didn't. They didn't seem like they were hiding anything. They just said, yeah, no, we haven't seen our mom. The girls were taken back to Wind Lake and taken to Terry and Nick's house where Terry's sister picked them up. And then back in the interrogation room, Detective Smalling asked David if he had been in Milwaukee that day. It was a loaded question because they already knew that he was. And he said, no. Detective Smalling at that point had had enough of David's lies and he was like, first off, your cell phone pinged in Milwaukee. Second of all, so did your ex-wife's. And they also said, and we know you were not at home at 11:30 and left to take your girls to Lana's house because we were there at 11:03. Fuckface.
Right.
I don't think they said fuckface, but maybe,
they did. Sometimes they do.
I would have if I was the interrogator. Mm-hmm. Then the detective said they knew he was lying about Terry never showing up at his house. They knew that she had been there because they found her bloody clothes in his trash can. And at this point, David started to get a little nervous. He started like rubbing his hands back and forth on his pant legs. He was like very nervous. Detectives also looked at his pants and he had her blood on his pants.
Oh, geez.
And they told him.
Because he's not that good of a multitasker. Thank God he's not a dispatcher anymore.
I know. Thank God.
Or controller.
Whatever, I mean. He is. Well, he's dispatching planes. Same kind of different thing, but same thing. All right. That's when David finally switched gears and told the detectives that he wasn't totally honest before, because actually what happened was that he was putting the girls' backpack or putting the girls' homework in their backpacks in anticipation of Terry getting them, you know, at 10 o'clock. He had his back to the door while he was loading their backpacks, but when he turned around, Terry somehow had made it inside his house without him noticing, and she was right behind him. According to David, Terry had a hammer in her hand, raised over her head, ready to come down on him. And her pants were around her ankles. He has no idea why. David, now in fear for his life, grabbed a baseball bat, and that just like happened to be right there, you know? He swung it for dear life, striking Terry in the face with the bat. Mm. After that, he grabbed duct tape, but he can't remember why he grabbed duct tape. And the rest of what happened after he hit her is just a blur in his mind. He doesn't remember. At that point, David didn't say anything more. He wasn't going to give them any information. So Detective Smalling changed his tactics. He told David that they had to find Terry ASAP because it was freezing outside. And, you know, said it like hurts to even breathe when you're just walking from like your door to the car, you know? And they were like, you know, we really want to find her. She's still alive. Would you help us? And David was not budging.
Because he knows she's already dead, or he's just an asshole. This is one of those situations where I'm okay with the officers being like, you know what? She sounds like a real dumb bitch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I like to do with a dumb bitch? Smack him around. Whatever. I don't know. Like whatever you got to say to just because obviously
this guy like
make him talk, make him believe they're your friend. And I imagine for the officers that have to do that, it must be so
stomach turning.
Yes, exactly.
I know.
But that's what you got to do.
Yeah. So David was in this interview for 6 hours. Mm-hmm. He just at the 6 hour point, he was like, "I'm done. We're done." And so police had enough information at that point to detain him. So they took him into custody, changed him into a prison jumpsuit, took his clothes for evidence, which they were 99% sure that the blood was Terry's, right? And they took, you know, his wallet, everything that he had on him. Well, dude, this guy, his wallet was like his house, stuffed with everything that he ever has gotten to like put in his wallet that he could put in there. Every receipt, business card, you know. Whatever. Yeah. Now it was February 1st. It's been 20 hours since Terry had called and there were zero leads until they started looking through this wallet. They called every business contact card. I love these detectives. I think they did a really good job.
Well, shout out, because you know what? Usually when we do these kind of smaller town cases, we're like, that's some small town shit.
I know.
Bring in the big city. They got their detective on.
They did. And they're calling all these people. I mean, yes, like probably most of them are like nothing, right?
Yeah.
But one of those many business cards that they found was for a self-storage facility in Wheeling, Illinois. Mm. And when they called the number on the card, the clerk verified that David Larson actually did have a storage unit that he rented there. Then they asked them, when was the last time David had been at this storage unit? And they said, oh, actually, you know, because they have like these codes when you like enter, and so they know who's been in and out of the units. Well, guess what? David was there on January 31st, that day before.
Damn.
So police and ambulances were immediately dispatched to this storage facility. Wheeling Police Department Officer Richard Hurtis was one of the patrol officers responding to the call, and when he arrived with another patrol officer, they entered the storage unit. For some reason, the guy at the clerk, like the person at the front, didn't have the master key, so they had to like break the lock off. They tried to be really quiet so they could hear if Terry was still alive, and they could like she could respond to them, but they didn't hear any sound. They just they did find his storage unit. They entered the 6-foot by 8-foot locker and they noticed a trash can in the corner with a pile of boxes on top of it. It's really dark in those facilities. Mm-hmm. So they had their flashlights out and they could see the trash can was duct taped closed. Officer Hurtis also noticed a baseball bat propped up right by the trash can with dried blood on it. The officer started moving the heavy boxes from the trash can, stripped the duct tape off. And when they swung the lid open, they saw a woman curled up in fetal position inside the trash can. And she made a small moaning sound.
Wow.
I know. It's like such a sad case, but it's so amazing.
Hey, yeah.
Because she was alive.
That's amazing.
They asked for her name. She answered Terry Sue DeJusa Nicolai, and her hands were duct taped together in front of her. She had a huge gash on her head. Her face was bruised and swollen so bad that she did not even look like who they were looking for the past 24 hours.
Yeah.
Because of some obvious injuries, they did not try to get her out of that, like trash can, you know, they had the paramedics come in and do it really carefully. So they took her to the hospital, and then back at the police station, they told David that the gig is up. We found Terry, and actually she's alive. And they told Nick, her husband, that she was alive. And, you know, it had been 24 hours.
Wow. Yeah.
At the hospital, Hurtis went in, the officer Hurtis went in, and they wheeled Terry to the ER. They weren't sure what kind of damage that she had suffered. She, like I said, had a huge gash on her head. Her eyes were swollen shut. Her entire face and lips were swollen. Her internal body temperature was only 84 degrees. Doctor said that she was within an hour of death when they found her. At that time, her long-term survival was unknown. As she was being treated, Terry was in a full-blown panic attack because she thought that David was going to come back and get her in the hospital. So they had to tell her, like, no, girl, he's in custody and he's never going to hurt you again.
Yeah. Wow.
Dr. Michael Byam was Terry's surgeon. And in an interview on 3 Days to Live, he said that Terry had a crush injury in her skull. Her face was swollen twice the size of her normal face. She was unable to even open her eyes. Her feet had turned black from lack of circulation due to them being frostbitten. And her feet actually suffered the most damage because David had packed snow into the trash can before he put her inside of it. When Officer Hurtis actually saw her feet, he thought she had black socks on. Something else Dr. Byam learned was that Terry was pregnant. She and Nick had found out on January 30th that they were having a baby. And so Terry couldn't wait to get her girls home to tell them that they were going to be big sisters. But unfortunately, because of what had happened to her, Terry had miscarried the baby. Embrace new beginnings. What a better way to start off 2025 than to learn a new language. I got Rosetta Stone over a year ago and have really enjoyed learning a couple different languages. Y'all know that when I went to Japan, I was learning Japanese, and now that my daughter is taking French in school, I am learning French through Rosetta Stone. It's amazing. It's been around for 30 years, so it is really the most trusted online tool to learn a new language. They have 25 different languages to choose from: Spanish, French, Italian, German, Japanese, Dutch. I mean, if you name it, they probably have it. I think that it's amazing, and you should think about doing this for your New Year's resolution too. It's convenient and flexible, and the value is unheard of. You get a lifetime membership for all 25 of those languages. Start your New Year's off with a resolution that you can reach. Today, Housewives of True Crime listeners are going to be able to take advantage of this New Year special from Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership. Visit rosettastone.com/today. That's unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your New Year's offer at rosettastone.com/today.
Listeners, every year around this time, I resolute I'm going to get grown-up stuff done, like get that colonoscopy over with that my doctor has been bugging me about, get my affairs in order, like making a will. And why is it that a will seems to be more daunting than the colonoscopy? Well, it doesn't have to, because trust and will makes creating your will easy, like lounging on the couch easy. The website is really simple to use and the process is straightforward. Each will or trust is state-specific, legally valid, and customized to your needs. So for my family, my main concerns are guardians for my children. Whether your main concerns are your care wishes, your final arrangements, or power of attorney, Trust and Will has you covered. When maneuvering through the process, if you have any questions that stop you in your tracks, there is actually live support available through phone, chat, or email. Trust and Will has earned thousands of five-star reviews from Trustpilot. So check one of your goals off early this year with Trust and Will. Protect what matters most in minutes at trustandwill.com/HTC and get 10% off plus free shipping. That's 10% off and free shipping at trustandwill.com/HTC. Listeners, is your child struggling with a specific subject? Do you want to help set them up for success? IXL Learning is an online learning program that enriches your homeschool curriculum. It offers practice in math, English, language arts, science, and social studies while adapting to each child, meeting them where they are. Plus, IXL encourages students to be curious and empowers them to choose how they learn. In my house, my daughter could not wrap her head around ratios in her sixth grade math class, and I was not much help, except for that I put her on IXL and got her set up to do the tutorial on ratios, and it was the boost she needed. IXL is super simple like that because everything on IXL is organized by grade, subject, topic, and subtopic, making it simple to find activities for the exact skills you are covering. IXL is trusted by 15 million students worldwide and has proven to improve performance in over 75 scientific research studies. So make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and Housewives of True Crime podcast listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Back from a break. So what actually happened was when Terry arrived at David's house on January 31st, she was excited to pick up the girls because she wanted to tell them they were going to be big sisters. And normally, David would never let her inside the house. Not that she ever wanted to go inside that messy ass house, right? But he was like, hey, the girls are playing hide and go seek and they want you to come find them. Mm. Terry wasn't comfortable with it and her gut was telling her not to do something like that. But I mean, you can see why you're like, yeah, my kid, I'm not going to do it for my kids.
I just want to get my kids and get out of here. Yeah.
Yeah. So as soon as she walked inside, she was knocked unconscious from a blow by a baseball bat. When she came to, she was face down and David was sitting on her back, hitting her over and over with this bat. She described it sounding like her head was exploding. When he stopped, he took duct tape, bound her hands and feet, and stuffed her into the garbage can while piling snow inside of it. He closed the lid, sealed it with duct tape, and he said to her, "You always say I abuse you. Now you know what abuse is." He pulled the can out of his pickup and loaded it into the back. David had pulled Terry's shoes, socks, and pants off, but left her jacket on her. He didn't check the pockets of her jacket, and thankfully, that's where her cell phone was. She managed to get the phone out of her pocket, and it was like one of those flip phones back then that still had like raised buttons. So that's how she knew to call 911. She made that first 911 call. After the call disconnected, she heard sirens, which was those police officers going to the house, passing her truck. She like at first thought that, oh my God, I'm going to be saved. But then they just went in the distance. Terry tried calling. Remember, she called Nick and Nick told her that, you know, the police were looking for her. But he was like, you got to hang up so that they can find you, like save your battery. You know, Terry was able to get one hand free and pushed the lid of the trash can open and tried to wave at passing cars going by. But David saw her in his mirror, pulled over, beat her some more, resecured the duct tape around her hands. And just then her phone rang and he saw it and he took it from her.
Damn it.
He was driving to the storage facility in Wheeling. When they got there, he pulled the trash can with Terry inside of the storage unit, put three boxes, 100 pounds on top of it, and then left. Terry tried everything she could do to free herself, but there was so much weight on top of that trash can that she just couldn't. And I mean, it had to have been so hard. I mean, I can't even imagine.
And you've been beaten.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, she said that she, like, everything, like, she's just thinking about her children the whole time.
Yeah.
Like, this is how she made it.
Yeah.
She screamed for help, but no one could hear her. She felt her hands and her feet freezing. She tried to, like, take her hands, like, keep her feet warm, but, you know, she's tied up. So it's like very, it's very hard. She kept falling asleep, but she knew if she fell asleep, she would never wake up. So she kept, like, just like waking herself up.
Wow.
She hung on to her faith and thought of her husband, her daughters, and her unborn baby, and that kept her going. After police rescued her from the storage unit, Terry spent 7 weeks in the hospital and underwent 10 surgeries. On February 14th, 2 weeks after this ordeal, doctors made a decision to amputate all of her toes. They were worried that she might lose her arms and her elbows and her legs, but thankfully, like, they saved everything else. They did have to remove like a 5-centimeter patch from her scalp. During a press conference at the hospital, Terry said, "On Saturday morning, January 31st, the nightmare started. Though the many cold, dark hours that followed, I clung to my faith and gathered my strength, even though there are still physical and emotional wounds, my family and I are on a path to healing."
Yeah.
She went on to speak publicly because she wants to take a stand against domestic violence. And it was the beginning of a lifetime of advocacy and new laws to protect victims. On February 10th, David Larson was indicted on state and federal charges. This guy is the worst of the worst.
Yeah.
He was held on $1 million bond. His legal team tried to get some of the stuff thrown out, but didn't end up happening. He also was charged federally because he went across state lines, right? So he received 35 years for attempted homicide by the state of Wisconsin and a life sentence for kidnapping from his federal charges.
Amen.
He is currently serving at Stanley Correctional Institute in Stanley, Wisconsin. And he has, of course, appealed and got denied. He's also petitioned to see his daughters, which have been denied. Terry also won a civil case against this douche canoe in 2015 and was awarded $3 million.
Did he have $3 million?
I don't
know. All those boxes of hoarded shit?
I don't know, but I hope he did because I hope she has it. The judge also awarded her husband $200,000 and each of her girls $50,000. So I feel like he did. While she was still in the hospital, Terry gave a press conference and stated, "I am not a victim. I'm a survivor." He is his own victim because he tried taking my life away and he just took his own life away from himself.
Yeah.
So they were married in 1996 and he was abusive right away. He started beating her on their honeymoon. She finally was able to divorce him and met Nick Nikolai at choir practice not long after the divorce. It took her a while to gain trust, because you can imagine how she felt being a domestic violence survivor. And they were married just a few months before David kidnapped and tried to murder her. She has since become an advocate, like I said, and she was key to new laws made in Wisconsin, the AFE Act, that aims to keep guns out of hands of abusers. She also gives speeches at colleges, high schools, and churches and speaks on panels about domestic violence. She's active in her community and sits as a chairperson for the Waterford, Wisconsin Planning Commission. And she and her family are thriving.
Nice.
Her daughters are grown and her and Nick welcomed a son in 2014.
Oh, congratulations.
Isn't that,
that's a great one.
I know. It like makes me tear up because I'm so happy she survived and that this guy was taken. I mean, I can't even, like, what was he going to do? Go back and like,
I don't know. And doesn't it put it all into perspective? I mean, I can't imagine what she went through, but even then it's like, you're alive. Fucking take my toes, take my legs. I don't care. I just want to be alive for my kids.
I know.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. So she is a survivor and she's taking it for the good. And I love it. I think she's an amazing human. So I'm sorry that she had to deal with that, but you know, she's teaching other people about domestic violence and probably like saving other women's lives.
Totally.
Yeah. So that's all for today. And if you want more of us, we are here on Thursdays. Go to Clink Clink Club if you listen on Apple, or bonus content on Spotify, or go to patreon.com/housewives of true crime. We are here for you every single Thursday. It's a little bit of a, not as a downer of episodes. Gretchen does a true crime case every month.
Yes, and we talk all things current events and shit.
Yeah, we do true crime currently. We talk about celebrity true crime.
Our next bonus crime is going to be, I'll give you a little teaser.
Yeah.
Johnny Lewis.
Okay.
Okay.
Listen. All right. Johnny Lewis.
I didn't know about this one.
I didn't know about this one.
Listen, this was a former star of the Sons and Anarchy show, which I was very invested in.
Yeah.
At the time, gone crimey.
Yeah. Okay, I can't wait to hear. And if you want to support us and support your skin, go to fivecrimes.com. That's fivecrimes.com. And you can get our skincare line. It is amazing. Your skin will look amazing. I just had somebody text me today, like, what dermatologist do you go to? And I am going to get a skin check today. But I do not get my creams from the dermatologist. I get them from my damn self.
Well, you need to have that, your moles and poles and
that's what
everything.
I'm getting done, right? Listen, actually, in 10 minutes.
I had just gotten mine done. And then my friend Darcy saw a mole on my ass because I'd be flashing people. And it came back, you know, bad.
Oh.
But they cut off enough around the margins and it's fine. But I had just been to the dermatologist and got it checked. So get your moles checked.
Get them checked.
That's the thing.
Yes. Get it all checked.
Get
We're getting everything checked.
Get your mammogram. Get
all
your
of it.
Checked.
Yes. 2025 for health. Let's do that.
Let's do it.
All right. So thanks for listening, and clink, clink.
Clink, clink.
At Verizon, anyone can trade in their old phone for a new one on us with Unlimited Ultimate, which means everyone in your family could get a new phone and stay on your family plan, keeping you close.
Hey, Mom, you seen my toothbrush?
Yeah, I'm almost done with it.
Maybe too close. Trade-in and additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.